It's that time, the Betting Predators podcast, where our main objective is hunting down the best bets for you. I'm your host, Sleepy J. You guys can find me on Twitter at SleepyJ_pregame. Joined here by the football gurus, football fanatics. Got Jay Smoove in the house. You guys can find him on Twitter at Smoove_702. You guys could also get Dan Rivera on Twitter as well at DanRivera228. You guys could always get us at thebettingpredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. All right, guys, here we go. NFL Week 13. Myself, Dave, and Steve, we went ahead. We knocked out six or seven games. Myself, Dan, and Smoove are going to go ahead. We're going to cover six here for the Week 13 card. Let's not waste any time here. Smoove, I want to go ahead. I want to start it out here with your San Francisco 49ers. It's going to be a big game here. Dolphins heading on the road into San Fran. We got San Fran -4. We have a total of 46.5. How are you feeling about your 49ers this week?
I'm pretty confident. I think it goes without saying that, you know, this is probably going to be the game of the week, and I think the NFL probably missed a two-week window to try to flex this into a Sunday night game here, but you got the top defense in the league, and my 49ers going up against one of the top offenses in the league, especially when Tua's been in the lineup and healthy, you know, the last 4 weeks. They've scored nothing less than 30 points a game, and, you know, the 49ers have that streak of, you know, shutting out their opponents in the second half. And, you know, really doing a number on the Saints. I know it's the Saints, and they're having a down year this year, but they held them out the end zone, and they had a lot of good trips there, especially in that red zone area than the 10-yard line. But, you know, just looking at the matchups here, you know, I lean towards my 49ers. Just reading up on the injury report for the Dolphins. They're dealing with some injuries up front on the offensive line. Looks like their starting offensive tackles could miss this game. Terron Armstead, one of the best left tackles in the game, is dealing with a torn pec. You know, he's came out and said that he's going to try and play through it, but I don't know how impactful, you know, he's going to be if he does play. And going up against this 49ers defensive front, I think you got to have all your guys up front healthy. So I think they hold the edge there. I like the number here. It looks like the public's right now is all over the Dolphins here, but the line has been moving, you know, towards the 49ers. But my numbers have it about a 1 point, 1.5 point game. But based off of just reading the market here, they're heavy on the Dolphins, over 70% of the tickets. I might just end up taking the 49ers and it being like a market play for me. So right now I lean towards the 49ers, and especially with them being banged up front on that offensive line.
All right, they're Smoove with his 49ers. How about you, Dan? How are you feeling about that game?
I am thinking Smoove is right, and this game should have been flexing to Sunday Night Football, but we all know the NFL loves the Dallas Cowboys, no matter who they're playing. But my concern on both teams is their defensive secondary. The Dolphins have not been very good all year in the secondary. They played a lot of bad opponents, so they look a lot better on paper, but the Niners are fully capable of taking advantage. On the flip side, though, the Niners secondary has been beat up most of the year, and I'm not sure if they have any guys who can cover Tyreek or Waddle. If Tua is slinging in this game and getting those quick passes out, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Waddle or Tyreek go for 100-plus yards in this game. The Niners are beat up because that's what they do anymore. Debo has got another soft tissue injury. Christian McCaffrey is Christian McCaffrey. And then the San Francisco 49ers are coming off that terrible offensive performance against the Saints. I'm more inclined to look to over in this game, either be a team total or the full game total. I haven't decided yet. But looking at the secondary and looking at the wide receivers and the matchup in this game, I just have a really tough time thinking any side is going to slow each other down. I am concerned about the Dolphins left tackle situation. I need to see the game first, whether or not the Niners can get home. But if the Dolphins OC and head coach are drawing up quick passing plays, I'm not sure if it's going to matter. So I'll lean the Niners here, and I'm more inclined to look to the over.
All right, so both there looking at the Niners. Dan taking a look at the over. I'll tell you, I would love to take Miami here in this game just because I believe that team's probably better than most people think. The speed for them is tough. It's just tough for me to not like Miami here. But I understand how good San Fran is. It's just, you know, when are they going to show up and play like a really good game? You know, like they did that against Arizona. I felt pretty good about the way they looked there. But, you know, beating the Rams is nothing special. Beating the Saints is nothing special. If they can go ahead and put a good game together here, then I think we could start believing that the 49ers are back. And if they can win again next week, And that could be a situation too. Maybe it's a look ahead, you know, they got to play the Bucks, but I think this is like a real good measuring stick for both of these teams. I do think this game's close though. It too was like what, like 8-1 this year or something like that, or something crazy, straight up. He just doesn't lose. And I don't know. You know, Miami's taking on all comers. So they're young, they're confident, they're playing well. And, you know, like you guys mentioned, there's a lot of injuries. I don't know. I would lean towards taking Miami, but I do worry because I know San Fran's going to put a really good game together against somebody good, and this could potentially be it. But I don't know. Tyreek Hill causes a lot of issues, and he makes defenses look rather suspect. So to me, it would be a lean to the Dolphins, but I don't know if I would even bet it. Don't know. Let's jump over to my Green Bay Packers. They stink. Packers -4.5, Bears 43.5. I'll make this easy. I am not taking the Packers. I would bet the Bears on the money line. I'll take the points. I'll take the Bears. I'll probably tease up the Bears. There's no way you're getting me to take Green Bay. Even if Rodgers was healthy, there's still no way I'm taking Green Bay. If Fields comes back and plays, and I'm not sure if he's going to or not, but if Fields comes back and plays, this line should probably be almost a pick 'em. And I know that sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, the Bears probably have had this game circled all year long. Like, that's one of the things that a bad team will do at times. They'll circle a rival team's games at home, you know, when there's really nothing to lose. And I don't think the Bears have anything to lose. It's everything to gain. I would actually be surprised if anybody here picks the Packers. There's no way I could get to them. They're not playing well. They're not that good. They're not much better than this Bears team. And, you know, me being a Packers fan, you know, my entire life, it's hard to say that, but the Packers aren't much better than the Bears. They certainly aren't 4.5 points better on the road. So for me, it's the Bears. I like them quite a bit. Probably one of my stronger plays. How about you, Smoove? How are you feeling about the Packers and Bears?
Yeah, I agree with you. I can't touch the Packers, you know, laying that number on the road. But I think it's kind of hard to back the Bears as well with not knowing the status of, you know, Justin Fields. You know, I expect him to play. I also kind of expect Aaron Rodgers to play. Him coming out talking about his injury on the Pat McAfee show, saying that, you know, he's going to try to play here. But looking at both of these defenses over the last month or so, they've both given up over 25 points. And if you get both of those quarterbacks on the field there, I like the look towards the over here. I think this is too low of a total at 43.5, given how bad these defenses have looked, you know, over the last month or so. So I would look to get involved with the over if I get involved with this game at all. I kind of see it as like a close game going back and forth, you know, with the Bears, you know, being a team that Aaron Rodgers has owned throughout his career, but the Packers being as down bad as they are right now, you know, this is a perfect time for the Bears to try to get some get back on the team and the quarterback that's pretty much owned them, you know, since he's entered the league. And I don't see either defense, you know, kind of stopping or controlling either one, especially if both quarterbacks are in the lineup. So, you know, I look to play that 43.5 over the total. I think that's pretty low.
All right, so there's Smoove looking over, maybe taking a look at the Bears. I wonder what this line actually goes to if Fields gets ruled in. Like, I don't know if it's going to come down a ton, but it's going to come down. I think the Mooney loss for Chicago is hurtful for them. But, yeah, I wonder where this line goes. Like, if he goes out, does this go all the way up to, like, 7 or something like that? Because I don't believe the market fully understands, you know, where Justin Fields is within the betting line right now. I don't know. If he plays, I honestly don't think that is much more different than a pick 'em. So how about you, Dan? How are you feeling about the Packers and Bears? Are you kind of with us here or not?
My issue with both teams is their defense. Is Justin Fields going to play? If he does play, is he going to run? I don't know. I don't think the Bears have any issues about Justin Fields long term. I feel pretty confident saying he is the guy long term. I don't see why he should go back out there and go play some games if the dude's already beat up year two in. If he cared about his longevity, I would just sit him for the year and just move on with it. Get him some real pieces. Get him some real draft picks. If Justin Fields is 100% and going to play, we saw last week Jalen Hurts ran all over this team. I could see Justin Fields having I don't know if he's going to have that many yards, but I could see Justin Fields running for 75 to 100 yards in this game pretty easily. I have no faith in this Bears defense stopping anybody. They give up a bunch of points, especially after those midseason trades. I wouldn't be that surprised if Aaron Rodgers comes out and scores a bunch of points again this week. I actually think you guys are both wrong. I think the Packers offense is starting to look a little better. Maybe it's just the two teams they just played. They scored a bunch against the Eagles. They scored on the Cowboys. Maybe that was fluky. Maybe it wasn't. But it seems like he's starting to get some real chemistry with Christian Watson. And at least he has somebody to throw to now. So if I am going to play this game, I got to pass at that spread until I know what's going to happen with Justin Fields. So I'm more inclined to lean over in this game, pass on the side.
All right. I do have two thoughts with two things that you said there, Dan. One with Green Bay is that we could probably look at the loss to Philadelphia like it's a dream crusher for them. Were they going to make the playoffs? Probably not. Are they going to make the playoffs now? No. Didn't think that was going to happen anyway. But at some point, a team like this who had high expectations, who they're not even going to reach half of their season win total probably, this is probably a dream crusher for them. The Bears have been well past that dream crusher scenario. Like, they knew they weren't making the playoffs. But getting back to Fields, where you said that there's a potential they sit him out, if he's somewhat healthy enough to even play and they could beat Green Bay, then sit him. Because that just leaves it's so much optimism for next year. But, you know, stick it to the team in a division like Green Bay. Like, even with your guy, you're still not better than us. Like, we're able to beat you now. And I think that gives, the Bears hope. It certainly gives Fields hope and the fan base. So I think if Fields is healthy enough to play, that the Bears right now are looking at Green Bay like blood in the water in a sense. And look, if Green Bay goes in there and beats them, you know what? Hey, it's the same old story, right? But I think the Bears will be able to hang their head a little bit higher on a loss here against Green Bay if they do lose, because they'll probably be somewhat competitive with Fields on the field. But I think if Fields can play, go stick him out there and let him play. He's not going to end his career, going out there and playing. But I don't know. That's just kind of where I'm at. If I'm the Bears and he could play, I stick him out there and try to get a win and then maybe go ahead and proceed with, a little bit more caution. So with that game out of the way, let's go ahead. Let's jump over to the Jaguars and the Lions. Current line in this game right now, Jags -1. Total 51.5. I like the Lions in this one, and I liked them earlier on in the week. I thought this number would actually go up, and it completely flipped. And I think a lot of that was due to Travis Etienne being questionable, not knowing if he was going to play or not. And then the reports came out that, at least today, that there's a high probability that he plays. But still, I mean, can we really trust the Jaguars team on the road? They're not playing for anything. They're out of the playoff chase. But I still believe in this Lions team is in, go back over to last couple. And look, I guess you could say the Jaguars are in the same boat too. Two teams that have done absolutely nothing over the last, God knows how long. But the Lions to me are a team that was thrown away in the trash. They were left for dead. And this has been actually a half decent productive year for that team, to where there's crowd showing up and the team's going out there and they are winning games and they have a quarterback that's, at least, moving to change for them. And they have some decent pieces. I think their defense isn't, all that bad as it has been. So I don't know. I like the Lions here at home. I think that team continues to fight and continues to show grit. And I'm not saying that the Jaguars won't and can't, but it's tough. The Jaguars are still young and they got to go on the road. So I think the wrong team is favored. I think that the Lions should be favored in this game by 3. So I'll take the Lions plus the points, take them on the money line. No real feel on the total, maybe the over, but I'll stay away from that. But I do like the Lions. How about you, Smooth? How are you feeling about the Jags and Lions?
Kind of on the opposite side here, but I do think that these two teams pretty much are a mirror image of each other. If you go back to last season, the last season's Lions teams reminds me of this year's Jaguars team. And there hasn't been much improvement, this year, as far as the win column for the Lions, but they're still, playing hard and fighting hard and covering spreads. But I think the Jaguars are kind of following those footsteps this year, coming off a nice upset win over the Ravens last week, where Justin Tucker couldn't get that kick from, I think it was 65 or 66 yards. When it left his foot, I thought it was good, but just a little bit short. But, Trevor Lawrence, the last couple of weeks, is kind of turning the corner as far as, looking like the number one pick and living up to some of that hype, you know, coming out of Clemson, especially last week, making some real nice throws and, you know, bringing them back and getting the score late with the 2-point conversion. But with this line being so short, you know, I kind of had this kind of in agreement with this line. I had the lines by the point and a half better. So I think the value is gone. You know, if you could have got the Jaguars at 2 or 1.5 when it opened up. But I lean that way with the Jags. I might look to put them in a teaser with another team, maybe a 6-point teaser, something like that. Get them up to a touchdown and a half. But yeah, these two teams, they kind of remind me a lot of each other as far as where they're at right now and where they're coming from. So best bet out of this game for me would probably teasing the Jags with another team, a 6-point teaser.
All right, good stuff from Smoove on that one. How about you there, Dan? How you feeling about Jags and Lions?
I don't have much on this game. I haven't liked the Lions all year. Maybe it's some teams. Cool. You're not the worst of the worst in the NFL. Jaguars last week had that epic comeback, and Trevor Lawrence had that game-winning drive. But the Ravens have now blown 4 double-digit lead in all their losses this year, so I don't know if that's one of the Jaguars being good or the Ravens just being the Ravens again. So I'm just going to pass this game on the side in total and just live bet it.
All right, there's another way to go ahead and look at it. Dan making maybe some live bets. Let's jump over to the Commanders and the Giants. Giants going to be -2.5 points here at home. We have a total 40.5. Dan, kicking it right back to you. Commanders, Giants, what do you got?
I'm not sure how the Washington Commanders are favored in this game. I'm not sure what they did to earn it. I don't like backing teams who are normally not favorites on the road here. It is a divisional game. Your Giants are starting to fall apart a bit, and I've been waiting for them to fall apart all year because I think they haven't been good all year. They were just beating some really bad teams. The injury plug is really hitting them hard right now. Is Washington good enough to take advantage? I'm not sure. I don't trust Danny Dimes here. I don't trust the Commanders here. Maybe this game goes over at the end. I know last week Washington didn't look the best against the Falcons, but last week was in a rainstorm, and it's always kind of hard to judge these teams in these massive rain where you really can't throw. You have ball slipping around. Your playbook maybe gets a little bit more condensed. So I'm just going to lean toward the over here in this game and maybe tease the Giants in this situation, because at 2.5, that's a very nice 6-point teaser to get through the key number of 8. So lean over, pass the side for now.
All right, I'm with you, Dan. I would tease up the Commanders or take the points or play them on the money line. I don't want any part of the Giants. I think the Wandale Robinson injury for New York is bigger than a lot of people probably think. I mean, that was Jones's like number one guy. Bellinger might play. If he's out, you got to wonder how the Giants move the football, because then they become really one-dimensional with Saquon. And I think the Commanders are, I mean, they're going to be okay. Offensively, they're the far better team, I think, right now. There's no way I can get to the Giants. There's just no way, especially with Washington playing the way that, I mean, they have a lot of momentum. A lot of these teams have momentum because nobody really saw either of these teams, you know, probably really being here at this point of the year. Yeah, it would be a bunch of stuff with Washington with me. There's just no way I can find myself going ahead and landing on the Giants. Like, I just don't know how. I can't even feel good looking at laying 2.5 points with them. I mean, I could easily see Washington win this game, so I don't want the Giants. It would be Washington for me there. How about you, Smoove? How are you feeling about that game?
You know, not much faith in the back in either team on the side here, but, you know, you got to give credit to Washington, especially over the last 3 games. They're 3-0 straight up and 3-0 ATS. You know, in preseason, Washington was my dark horse pick, you know, to win the NFC East at 5-1. But I think they would have had maybe been in a better spot, you know, given how well the Eagles play. I can't say that they would be up there with the Eagles because they're so dominant with Jalen Hurts. But with Taylor Heineke, you know, he's not as talented as Carson Wentz and not the most talented quarterback in the NFL, period. But that locker room and those – his teammates really respond and play hard for him, and they all play well as a team. But just looking at the total here, you know, I look to take that under. I know it's moved a little bit, but, you know, it's you know, a little bit of a reverse line movement to the total. Majority of the public is on the over here, but it's dropped from the 42.5 down to 40.5. So I wouldn't take the under if it drops below 40. I like to get that hook on that 40.5 there. So, you know, I look to play that under, you know, with this being a division matchup. These teams play each other quite a bit here. And over the last 22 matchups in New York, the under's 18-4. So that's a pretty, you know, significant trend that sticks out, given that these teams, you know, play each other, you know, twice a year. And, you know, neither offense really explosive or dynamic with big plays down the field. So I would look to get involved with the under, but I want the hook on that 40, on that 40.5 though.
All right, good stuff on that game. Solid thoughts all around. Let's go ahead. Let's jump over to the Broncos and the Ravens. Ravens going to lay 8 here, and we have a total of 38. I don't know how the hell you can get to the Broncos. I mean, you can give me 2 touchdowns. I wouldn't take that team. That team's a dead team. Nobody likes Russell Wilson on that team. I mean, the defense was out. I'm sure you guys saw on Twitter guys yelling at Wilson. Maybe they were trying to hype him up. I don't know. But it doesn't matter because they can't score points. And going into Baltimore is never a picnic. And I think Baltimore is due to put a real throttling on a team. And my concern here with Denver, and I said this last week, is that I worry that the defense eventually is going to just give up. And if there's ever a spot for them to just give up and say, screw it, it's off of another loss where the offense did them no favors. Going on the road in a tough place, especially against the mobile quarterback, that's probably going to give them fits. And I think Jackson's in line for a big game here too. Even though the Denver defense has been really good, I think we could all probably easily end up getting to the Ravens in a teaser. But I don't think you necessarily have to tease them, but getting them down to 2 points is probably fine. I wouldn't be shocked if this Broncos team gets smashed here and in the locker room blows up completely. And things just get ugly there in Denver. As far as the total is concerned, it's tough to play the over because I don't think Denver's going to score much. I mean, if Denver could break 13, I'd be quite surprised. So maybe Denver team total under. I'm not even sure what that number is. But if it's anywhere near 20, I would consider strongly betting them under. I mean, that team stinks, which is surprising because they were supposed to be good. So Ravens in a teaser for me, I'll do that. I would even consider laying the Ravens minus the 8, and I think this game gets ugly. That's where I'm at right now. How about you, Smoove? How are you feeling about the Broncos and Ravens?
Yeah, I think we're on the same page with breaking down this game. And I was leaning towards that Broncos team total under as well. But right now, I have them scoring about 14 points in this game. That's what they've been averaging. And right now at DraftKings, it's minus 115 to the under at 14.5, but like you said, you know, you might be interested in getting down on the game as well, laying the 8. You know, I got it at the Ravens about 8.9 points better than the Broncos. And, you know, I just agree with you. This Broncos team is terrible. You know, they were a dark horse Super Bowl team at the beginning of the year getting Russell Wilson, and it just hasn't worked out at all. I'm not the one to really jump on Russell Wilson as much as everybody else has. Of course, he hasn't played his best or what we've seen him do over, you know, his career. But I think it's more so on Nathaniel Hackett and what he, you know, wants to have him do or is trying to have him do. Just doesn't fit. Doesn't look like he's, you know, fit out for a head coach. So I do think that they'll make a coaching change at the end of the year, but you know, Russ having a bad year, and I don't really look towards him that much. I look to, you know, what type of system he's in and what's around him. But, you know, this season, like you said, Sleepy is just down the drain. You know, you got defensive players ready to, you know, punch on Russ on the sideline. And, you know, the locker room just doesn't like him. His personality or whatever it might be going on. I know Richard Sherman has taken some shots on him on his podcast. But I can't get to the Broncos, but I look to – take that Broncos team total under that 14.5. Might look to get, you know, on the under for the game, even though it's pretty low at 38.5. I just don't think the Broncos team is going to score dealing with the Ravens team that blew another loss coming back home. I think they're going to look to really dominate. So, yes, Broncos team total under, or maybe game full game under for me.
It's not that I think Wilson's bad. I actually think he's really good, and I'm with you there, Smoove. It's just it ain't working. Do you think he's even on this team next year? Because how do you tell, you know, 53 other guys that? And look, I don't know. I don't want to say that the entire team doesn't believe in him or doesn't support him or, you know, or like him, but it doesn't look good. And how do you convince, you know, half your team or whatever, let's just say it's half the team or a quarter. Like, still, how do you convince 20 guys to buy into something that clearly isn't working? And look, maybe Russell Wilson isn't even buying into this system. So, I mean, it's just, it's broken all around. But do you think that there's a shot somehow that Wilson somehow ends up not on this team next year? Because it seemed like that wasn't going to happen. But, I mean, this, it's not working out, and it doesn't look good. So I don't know what your feeling is, but my feeling is that if they can find a way to get him out of there, or he can find a way to get himself out of there, I actually think that happens. What do you think, Smoove?
I think it's a possibility, just given – now, there hasn't been many, you know, reports about him not, you know, gelling well in the locker room, but you see it on the sidelines and stuff like that. But just given the financial situation with everything that they traded for him, and then on top of how much they paid him, like $250 million for the next, you know, 5 years, 6 years, something like that, I think it's a little bit hard to get from under that. But maybe if they were able to – something came up doing a quarterback swap of Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, maybe. Maybe a better fit, because, you know, reading the articles and the tea leaves – you know, when Nathaniel Hackett got the job, you know, he's pretty much hired because they thought that would increase their chances of getting Aaron Rodgers, and that didn't happen, and they got Russell Wilson. And, you know, I've been thinking all season, is Nathaniel Hackett trying to have Russell Wilson do things that were suited for Aaron Rodgers, and it just doesn't work? But, you know, just like you said, Sleepy, everything about that whole situation right now in Denver just isn't working, isn't clicking. And if they can get from under, you know, Wilson in that contract and try to go somewhere else and recoup some of those picks and some of that money back, then yeah. But right now, I think the financial situation is a little bit tough to get from under.
Yeah, I mean, the financial is going to be tough. I mean, they're not going to make much money because ain't nobody going to show up after they got beat to the Panthers. So we'll see. So not a believer there in the Broncos. How about you, Dan? How are you feeling about that game?
Well, every single time we bring up the Broncos, I'm going to ask, have the Broncos quit? I'm going to go with a yes that they quit. I don't know if it shows up in the field, but you guys nailed it. You have defensive players fighting your QB. You have guys not believing in Hackett, who should never have this job to start with. It was just because the Broncos wanted to be in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes. So the two takeaways from this little experiment, if you want to call that, is one, make sure your coach is actually proven. Hackett was not. Two, you should have fired the GM on the spot for 2 years ago, when you passed on Justin Fields for a cornerback when your long-term solutions were Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. So, Denver, you get what you seek out, and I don't feel bad for you. Will Russell Wilson be gone off his team next year? Probably not, because Denver gave up so much, and no team in the NFL right now is that stupid to give up that much for a broken quarterback with so many issues. So that's all that situation. I am concerned that the defense just gives up this week. I am concerned that the Ravens did come off that epic loss again, and I think this is where the Ravens win 28-0, 28-7. I'm just concerned in general about this whole Broncos team, and I think it's about to get real nasty here soon. You're already seeing the reports leak out. So if you're going to play this game, you probably should stay away from anything with Denver. Ravens team total over might be the only way I could go. May have been Ravens early on, but the Ravens have injuries and they are struggling in offense to get margin despite the defense keeping them in the game for so long. So that's my thoughts to this game. I'm going to pass on the side in total. I don't want to lay 8.5 for the Ravens who struggle to get points. I'm definitely not taking 8.5. The Broncos, who can barely score 10 points against the Carolina Panthers, I think the total is about right. I think one team's going to have to absolutely carry. And if you are playing that game total over, you pretty much relied on the Ravens to get 35 points, which I went no part of this week. So pass on the side, pass on the total. I think a team total Ravens over would be the way to go, or maybe a Broncos team total under is the way to go.
All right, good stuff on that game. Good breakdown. Let's go ahead and jump over to our final game here. We got the Seahawks. We got the Rams. Seahawks -7.5, total 41. I feel the exact same way about the Rams that I do about the Broncos. This Rams team's dead. I don't know if I said it on this podcast. I'm pretty sure I mentioned it. that I didn't think Stafford was going to play again this season. If we can, you know, bet his season totals under, bet him under. I honestly don't think he's going to come back anymore. I don't see why would he? They got 3 wins on the year. And Seattle's coming off of back-to-back losses. And it was a tough loss in the last game. Don't get me wrong. The fact that they gave up, you know, a long run, that was a dagger. It was a gut punch. But I think the Seahawks probably string 2 wins together here. I think they're going to win back-to-back games. And they're going to get themselves back to 8 wins. This is an all-in effort for them. This is a must-win game for them. They can't lose this game. They just can't lose this game to the Rams. Seattle's far better. And the Rams quarterback and Bryce Perkins, a young kid. I liked him when he played for UCLA. I wouldn't be surprised if he backs up maybe Stafford for one more year and ends up becoming the starter for this team because he was pretty damn good when he played for UCLA. But that's going to take him a little bit of time. So if he plays, I think they actually give him another run. There's Stafford right now is listed as doubtful. I honestly don't think he's going to play anymore this season. But the Rams stink. And I think Robinson's done now, I think, for the year. I think I saw that. I probably should have better confirmation with my information, but pretty sure he's done. How the hell do you bet the Rams? There's a chance this team gets throttled too, and Seattle comes in here really pissed off. And defensively, you know, that's been one of the things for Seattle that they've been hanging their head on, you know, the last couple games, and the outcomes is, you know, the defense has felt like they let the team down. So they're going to come in here and they're going to be charged up to just do whatever they can against this Rams team. There's no way. There's just no way I could take the Rams. So if you guys are looking for a best bet from me, either tease Seattle and the Ravens together or just bet them on the money line in a parlay. Because you're laying 8, you're laying 7.5. I mean, that's probably not, you know, not a good way to go, you know, laying over that key number 7, you know, multiple times in 1 week. But I'll give you guys that as a best bet. Let's go ahead and let's just take the Ravens in Seattle. We could play them on the money line. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just don't like laying 1.5 points in a teaser, honestly. So maybe we'll have to lay 150. But does anybody here see the Broncos or Seahawks or the Broncos or the Rams coming out with guns blazing, beating either of these teams? I just don't see it. So that's my best bet. Ravens, Seattle. We'll go ahead and play him on the money line. How about you there, Smooth? How are you feeling about Seattle and the Rams? Oh, and I do want to say this. We always talk about the Rams not having this great home field advantage, but I actually think the Seattle faithful will actually travel to L.A. because they realize, one, that they can invade this place. There's going to be plenty of tickets available, and that this is like a must-win situation that, you know, they can kind of turn L.A. into, you know, Seattle's home field advantage for a week. I would not be surprised if we see 60-40, maybe 70-30 Seahawks fans here. Yeah, anyway, so that's what I got there. Smooth, how about you?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you here on this game. It's funny that you mentioned the Seattle faithful, you know, invading the SoFi Stadium because I read on Twitter that, you know, the Rams – people in charge of their, you know, tickets and stuff like that, we're, you know, going to donate, you know, tickets to charity to try to fill up the stadium because they know that, you know, this Rams team is done, like you mentioned. They're in L.A. You know, there's a lot of other stuff going on. You know, Lakers, that's a Laker town to me. So they won't be in attendance there. And with the Seattle team, it's kind of in the running for the NFC West division, you know, with my 49ers. You know, I think they're going to get behind their team and, you know, try to, you know, cheer them on down the stretch to, you know, get back in that NFC West battle to try winning division. So, especially coming off a loss like they did, you know, last week against the Raiders, you know, giving up 40 points in overtime and 300 yards to Josh Jacobs, who was, you know, couldn't be stopped. You know, this Rams team just doesn't have that personnel now. You mentioned Matt Stafford already being out. Allen Robinson, he is out for the season. But also, you know, Aaron Donald, you know, just today is announced that he's not going to be playing in this game either. You know, and this team, you know, was built, you know, pretty top heavy with their top tier stars at the top of their roster. And, you know, all of those guys are going to be out. Cooper Kupp's already out. And the only one left is pretty much Jalen Ramsey, and you know, since he got lit up in the Super Bowl there by T. Higgins, he really just hasn't been the same as far as carrying that number one corner reputation. He's been kind of getting torched all year this year and, you know, flipping back and forth between the game last week against the Chiefs. He was guarding, you know, Travis Kelce, a tight end, one of the best weapons in the league, although he should be able to, you know, keep up, you know, with Kelce with, you know, as far as foot speed. But Kelce was just running circles around him. So I just don't think that their hearts are in it. They know they're out of it. Their top guns are down. You mentioned Bryce Perkins, and they had some nice moments, but against the Seattle team, they could really score the ball. So I'd probably put them in a teaser if I can get it, you know, under 7 and tease it down to 1, or just look to take the Seahawks team total over. I think it's 24.5 right now at plus money at DraftKings. So, you know, that would be the two ways I would look to get involved with this one.
All right, good stuff there, Smooth. How about you, Dan? I'll let you go to wrap this one up. Seahawks, Rams, what do you got?
Similar to the Broncos, I'm going to ask every single week, is this team done? All their players are probably going to be out. Jalen Ramsey hasn't been very good lately. I haven't been very impressed. Does he even care anymore? The injuries. Sean McVay's also talked about retirement, which makes me really question how motivated he is. I am never a fan of a player or coach ever talking about retirement. So that makes me question whether or not he cares anymore. He got his ring. The Rams got their ring. They sold out last year. They traded all the way those picks. They spent all that money. They got Stafford. This is them paying the price. They went all out. You got your Super Bowl ring. You lucked out. Cool. Now you're paying the price. I don't know if this Rams team is going to be even competitive in the next 5 to 10 years. Is Stafford going to play the rest of the year? I don't know. That's a second. My apologies. A second quote-unquote concussion protocol this week, where the first one I really wasn't sure if he was in concussion protocol or not because of this Tua situation, whereas that second one I do think he was in. I don't think he's playing the rest of the year. Seattle lost an epic game last week, giving up all those points after the defense was largely playing well for most of the year. Geno Smith went out and scored. The offense went out and scored. I could see a situation where Seattle wins 35-10. I don't think Rams care anymore. They have, I believe, the number 3 pick, which is really Detroit's number 3 pick this year. I'm just concerned that the Rams don't care anymore. Seattle needs to win to stay in the playoff hunt. In the NFC, you can get in the wild card at 9-8 since so many teams aren't very good. And you have a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers first in their division with a losing record. So Seattle needs this game. Do I want to lay the 8, 7.5, 8, depending on when you listen to this? I'm not really sure. I'm definitely not taking it with the Rams, though. So I'll lean Seattle. Definitely a good teaser situation. Maybe the Seattle team total over because I just don't know how the Rams are going to slow them down. I don't know how the Rams are going to score this week. It's just a situation where you have so many things going one way and the Seattle coming off a bad game, or at least a terrible defensive game. So I'll lean Seattle in the points, but I do like that team total over, or at least looking that way. So lean Seattle, maybe team total points over.
I like what you said there about McVay, because I think that the retirement talk, that's a bunch of bullshit. That dude is young. He's got a Super Bowl ring. There's no, like, how many people like really love the game of football and just up and like retire? Megatron did it because he was all banged up. I mean, the dude took a beating on a terrible team. You know, Luck did it, same thing. But, I mean, these guys that are coaches and stuff like that, like, are they really going to retire? No. I would lay minus 10,000 that if he retires, that he's back within a year. He might take 1 year off, and that's just to get the job that he wants. I think he realizes that this team has been all in for a long time. You know, they paid a lot of money to a lot of guys. You know, go back to Goff and Gurley and all these defensive guys. They're going to be left with, you know, Stafford leaving town, Cooper Kupp, we're going to demand a ton of money probably, and they have a lot of money tied up into defensive guys, and they're not going to have any picks. So this team's going to be absolutely terrible in probably 3 years with no crowd, and they're going to be stuck with aging defensive guys that are riding out the end of a max contract. So I think this gets ugly for the Rams. And look, give them credit. They won a Super Bowl. You know, they went all in and they were trying to get it done. And they finally got it done. So, you know, give credit where credit's due. But I feel like the bottom's going to fall out. And yeah, anyway, so that's my thoughts on that. McVay might say he's going to retire, but that's all bullshit. That's just so he can get the hell out of there, because I think he realizes what this is going to look like. The guy's not stupid, right? If he knows how to build a Super Bowl team, he also knows what a terrible team is going to look like down the road. So that's, you know, whatever. I will say this. Don't be betting any Rams team totals over anytime over the next couple of years. But that'll wrap it up. Awesome podcast. Good stuff there, Smooth. Good stuff there, Dan. Good breakdown for every game there. You guys know where to get us on Twitter. At smooth_702, at DanRivera228. Get myself at SleepyJ_pregame. You guys could always get us at thebettingpredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. With that said, I'd like to wish you guys all the best of luck for NFL week number 13. Enjoy the games.